All right. Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for this year's CALI seminar at the PCA's 52nd General Assembly. CALI for short is short for Korean American Leadership Initiative. We're a ministry of mission in North America, and we exist to nourish Korean American pastors for the flourishing of the PCA. We believe that healthy and thriving Korean American pastors are for the betterment of the entire denomination, and we do hope that this seminar is an encouragement to you. My name is Moses Park, and I serve as Associate Director of Operations for CALI. I also have the privilege of serving as a pastor at Christ the King Dorchester in Boston, Massachusetts, a member of the Southern New England Presbytery and the PCA. Over the course of my 15 years in our presbytery, one of the alarming trends that I've noticed is the noticeable decline of men who are pursuing MDivs at our local seminary near Boston, Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, and even fewer men in our presbytery who are pursuing licensure and ordination. Unsurprisingly, at the same time at Gordon Conwell, there has been a staggering increase in both men and women pursuing master's in counseling degrees. I've been told anecdotally that this is a trend consistent with seminaries across the country with the desire to pursue full-time vocational ministry, pastoral ministry specifically, down overall. So I share this because one of the core hopes of CALI is to pour into the future generations of Korean American pastors in the PCA. You know, those of us who are in here who are Gen X and older millennial pastors know that we have a finite amount of time left, and we understand that it is incumbent upon us right now to help invest in and raise up the next generation of leaders who are going to carry on the mantle of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the key ways that we can practically do this is through mentorship, and that's what this seminar is about. We define mentorship as an intentional relationship between two people where a more experienced person in a particular field or vocation enters into a relationship with another person with less experience in that field or vocation and provides guidance and wisdom to someone who's eager to learn. And it's a value and practice that's implicit and even explicit in Scripture itself, as the Apostle Paul once pleaded with the Corinthian church, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And considering the space that many of us Korean Americans exist in as ethnic minorities in a majority white denomination, we believe mentorship is all the more necessary in order for us as pastors to not only survive, but thrive in the PCA. So this afternoon, what we're hoping to do is actually compare and contrast the various mentorship experiences of three Korean American pastors in the PCA from three different generations, Gen X, Millennial, and we're gonna pretend Vincent is Gen Z today, okay? And we're going to discuss the strengths and weaknesses of each of their mentorship experiences. And it's our hope this afternoon that after our time together, we're going to walk away a little bit more encouraged, but also a little bit more equipped as we think about how to more fruitfully mentor the next generation of Korean American pastors, which includes not only younger millennials, but especially Gen Z and Gen Alpha pastors. So now I'm going to begin by having each of our panelists introduce themselves. If each of you could state your name, the church that you serve at, the presbytery you're a member of, and what generation you represent today, that'd be great. Starting with you.
Owen Lee, I will begin my 14th year of service as the senior pastor of Christ Central Presbyterian Church in Centerville, Virginia. We belong to the Korean Capital Presbytery, and I am a member of the Generation X. Gen X.
I'm John Song. I'm the senior pastor of City of Hope Church, a multi-ethnic congregation in Columbia, Maryland, and part of the Chesapeake Presbytery. And it's my third year in doing that ministry at City of Hope Presbyterian.
I'm Vincent Song. I grew up at CCPC, but now I serve at Christ Central Tysons, the daughter church. I've been serving as pastoral assistant there for about 8 months, so very fresh in the ministry sphere. I'm technically a millennial, but I have very different mix of the tendencies between Gen Z and millennial, and comes out. Hopefully we'll get to talk about some of that.
Thank you, guys. First question is for all of you, and we'll start with, let's start with Vincent, and then we'll go to John, and then end with Owen. What is the most common mode or type of mentorship or mentoring that you've received in your years of pastoral ministry, and what was the content of your mentoring experience generally focused on? We'll start with Vincent.
So I think if I were to describe the mode of mentorship that I received, I found it twofold. First was, let me let you see the ministry. And this was a lot of pastors taking me along to retreats, allowing me to help plan and pray and to lead different things. And kind of what I didn't realize then, but I do realize now, was they were taking a lot of risks with me. Because I honestly did a lot of things very poorly. I didn't know how to organize a retreat well. I didn't know the best way to logistically plan a trip for a retreat or plan a trip for pastors or something like that. But they let me see the ministry in the sense of they gave me firsthand experience and they trusted me. And honestly, a lot of the times it turned out poorly, but I got to learn through the process of what I need to grow in, what I'm good at, and maybe what I can glean from my pastors. Secondly, if I were to say let you see the ministry was the first way, the second way I was mentored was let you see me. And this was kind of, my college pastor had discipled me very intentionally because he knew I was hoping to go into ministry. And what he did was we met together regularly and he would tell me about his struggles in ministry. He would tell me about his struggles in his marriage. He would tell me about his struggles in serving. He would tell me about the sins that he struggled with, the ways that he didn't like ministry, how hard it was to go up and preach on a Sunday morning, maybe the difficult relationships he had at church. And I didn't get it at that time. You know, it brought a lot of vulnerability out of me, and I appreciated that, and I appreciated the closeness I got to experience with my college pastor and my post-grad pastor, but that was the more important form of mentorship. Rather than having me do things, what was more important was me seeing my pastor struggle, me seeing him emotionally kind of be all over the place when it came to different aspects of ministry. Because what I found in just 8 months is the logistical and administrative and planning things regard to ministry, like exegesis, expository preachings, whatever, that stuff is easy compared to the emotional burden that I felt in the past 8 months. So as I reflect, those are the two kind of methods, modes of how I received mentorship. And I definitely encourage letting younger people see you and like the honest, real, vulnerable, frustrated, like lowly you.
Thanks, Vincent. John, you want to share a bit about your experience?
Yeah, I think that verse that you shared was so poignant, right? I think the Korean-American millennial mentorship experience was imitate me as I imitate Christ, but they often didn't get into the reasons of why should we imitate you? We were taught much of the how of ministry. At this point, EM ministry or English-speaking ministry was somewhat of an established entity. And so we're taught the how of ministry. Here's how you run the English ministry. Here's the youth ministry. And so we did have greater stability, I think, in mentorship than Gen Xers had. But we were trying to understand, what does it mean to be a leader? What does it mean to be a strong leader? And so in the millennial generation, many of us grew up in a very unstable pastoral turnover ratio. It was very common for most pastors to be around maybe a year and a half, 2 years before the next pastor came in. And so we were the generation that had to find mentorship through the internet, right? And this led through a waterfall of different perspectives of us as millennials who grew up in the internet age. We learned Nine Marks. We learned Willow Creek. We learned Together for the Gospel, the Gospel Coalition, Ligonier, Mark Driscoll, John MacArthur. That was, and everything in between. And so for us, our mentorship through the internet became very confused. How do we move forward, and how do we what's going to work for us? And what became attractive to us then is just finding the model, the how of ministry that we thought would be successful without really understanding the why. So for many of us here in this room, when we found Reformed theology, we found this, oh wow, this amazing, consistent, robust, a theological system that we could imitate to create successful ministry. But for many of us, we became frustrated with what Kuyper and Bobbing call just the form of Reformed ministry, not the essence of the Reformed tradition. And so we found ourselves getting a little bit lost in just, let's just repeat the forms of Reformed theology, and then our churches will do well. But then when we were in our churches, we recognized that this isn't the essence of the Reformed movement within our context, within our people, our cultural upbringing, our history. There's a book by Jean Twenge, who is a sociologist. She did the largest study on generations. The book is called Generations, 39 Million Americans. And what she said about millennials was this idea that because we were digital natives, right? Who remembers like AOL Instant Messenger, right? And all those things, right? And we believe that if we follow, you know, the viral models, we'll have success. But later on, we discovered that we needed greater mentorship than that. And but that was the most common mode of ministry that we experienced.
Thanks, Sean. Pastor Owen, would love to hear from your perspective.
Yeah, as a Gen X pastor, I would say our mode was go and figure it out. Because the people that were supposed to be our mentors were either first-generation Korean-speaking pastors or our white professors in seminary. And there was a distance from both of those mentors, right? With the KM pastors, it was not only language, but cultural and philosophy of ministry, a distance. And with our white professors, there was it felt off too. And so we had lots of opportunities to do ministry, to experiment, to try, to fail, to make mistakes, and then to learn from those failures and mistakes. You had to be a self-taught leader, again, because the example of how your KM pastor did ministry just didn't translate neatly onto kind of our paradigm for ministry. And so I think our generation was the generation that didn't have any old or wise sages, if you will. We had to learn from one another, and we just had to kind of figure it out by ourselves.
Pastor Owen, I'm curious, you know, as a follow-up question, you know, as a result of the kind of mentorship that you experience, yeah. You know, what have your view, you know, in what ways have your views and approach to mentorship now changed over the years as you seek to pastor and mentor younger pastors in this season, in this season of ministry?
To that, I would say, being for the younger pastors what I wish I had for myself. I remember feeling like I've always longed for an older brother figure mentor who would take an interest in me, get to know me, share his wisdom with me, open doors for me, encourage me, and be a champion for me. By the grace of God, I had a mentor like that. He was an older white pastor named Ron Svensson. God used him greatly to help mold and shape me, but I didn't have a mentor figure that looked like me and that understood the ministry context that I was in. So when I mentor now, I think, what do I wish I had? And that is what I try to be for the younger guys.
What are some mistakes that you've made over the years? I'm going off the cuff, yeah. But what are some potential mistakes or pitfalls that you've experienced in your mentoring of younger pastors as a result of maybe some of the challenging experiences you've received when you were older? Oh, younger, rather.
Yeah, so
you're older now.
Even though I had a great, thanks. Even though I think I had intentions of like saying, what I wish I had, I want to be, I can't assume what I wish I had is what they wish they had. And so I impose on them what I wish I had, but they may not necessarily want that. And so to be curious about what is it that you would like, that should matter. And so I've made mistakes in that in that regard.
Yeah. John, this next question is for you, brother. Are you currently in any sort of mentoring relationship, whether formal or informal, where you're on the giving end of mentorship, where you're mentoring younger pastors? And if so, that's the first question, yes or no?
Yes, I am still receiving mentorship.
Okay.
Very intentionally. I had a Korean American professor in seminary, Dr. Peter Lee, who took the time with me every week while I was doing seminary and doing full-time youth ministry and also working for the seminary, which is for many Korean American pastors is often the case. They don't have the luxury of being able to just sit down and do full-time seminary. They're often juggling two or three different jobs just to continue their seminary studies. So he would sit down with me every single week for about 2 to 3 hours and just pray with me, which I found to be astonishing given he had, you know, 5 kids, he had, you know, his professoring duties, he was at one point a church planter, and yet he still made the time to invest in me. And so that meant a lot for me as far as just giving back to individuals, but also continuing to pursue that. Because I would not be sitting here in this room right now if it were not for Dr. Peter Lee taking that time with me every single week. And so I recognize that that's not just something that we do in seminary, it's something that we do all throughout our lives. And so so we do need mentorship and we do need to actively pursue it. Our generation, it was preached self-sufficiency, and in many ways that has come back to haunt us and hurt us. We were you know, living as a millennial generation with this idea of crushing idealism, you know, in the 90s, you're all winners. Everyone gets a trophy, you know? And so when we grew up and we realized that life wasn't necessarily what we thought it would be or the promises of what we thought life could be in ministry, it was really hard for us to ask for help. It was really hard for our generation to go out and ask for help. You know, as far as the question is, you know, receiving any sort of mentorship or expected to know everything at this stage of ministry, we actively need to pursue it and we actively need to be discipling others. That's hard for us. We're a middle generation right now. We're not seen as like the wise sage leaders, as the guys like Owen here on my right. And we're treated even paternalistically, despite the fact that we are as old as the generation above us, the boomers and the Gen Xers, when they entered into senior pastorship. There was a 2020 Faith Communities Today study that the average age of senior pastors has increased from the age of 50 in 2000 to 57 in 2020, right? 2017 Barna study was that the average Protestant pastor was 54, and that's up 10 years from 44 years old in 1992. And so even as we wrestle with our own place in sort of the hierarchy of church leadership, we still need to pursue mentorship and we still need to be mentoring others. Yeah.
Thanks, John. We appreciate your perspective. Vincent, this next question is actually for you. I know that you don't believe you're a Gen Zer, but you're barely 30, brother. So
I'm right there.
Yeah. So, you know, from your perspective, what do you think the next generation, this generation of Gen Z Korean American pastors and those who are rising Korean American pastors, what kind of mentoring do they need the most?
So I have a few things, but I'll probably start with, I think, what's most important then and go down. First, kind of alliteration, learning from Pastor Owen's sermons. Delegation, I didn't really find a good word for this, but what I mean by there is, I think Gen Z, Christians and people in general, are very attuned to the fact that we all have problems, that we're all broken people, that we're all in need of grace, and that's a good thing. And so part of that is, we want good mental health. We want to do things our own way. We don't like the cookie-cutter formulas. We don't like it when someone tells us, hey, you should do it this way. We'd rather, what do you think? We'd rather someone come to us and ask us, what do you want? How do you grow? But what I'm finding trouble as a Gen Z millennial, based on the cuff pastor, when I speak to people who are younger than me and I have the opportunity to mentor them and to preach to them and to challenge them to grow in their faith, I don't know how to, delegation is the word, call them to something. Because I'm so careful of, you have your own problems that you're going through your own things. So I don't want to step on people's toes. I don't know how to be, I think if you could have been less overbearing with your desires, we could be more overbearing with ours. Honestly, because I find it hard to call people to serve or to I love the gospel of grace, but I struggle to view the church as an army. But I really do view the church as a hospital, but I struggle to see my fellow brothers and sisters as people who can go out into the field and actually do ministry. And that honestly probably stunts what the next generation of being willing to grow. I'm not doing what my older pastors did for me in terms of letting them see and challenging them to do something that they'll probably be bad at. So delegation, something that's I've also thought about a lot is the Gen Z pastors, also second, third generation Korean American Christians, our communities are diversifying. We have more diverse communities than ever before. The people that we work with, even the people that we are comfortable with, look so different from, what you may have grown up with, right? And so what is interesting is that I know so many Korean American Christians. I know so many who have that diverse community, and we don't know what it looks like to do cross-cultural ministry that well. We don't know what it looks like to be inviting to people who are maybe a little different from us. And as, you know, like my dad gave me a book when I was young, because Korea's in between China and Japan, we have to be unified, like uniform in our like who we are. But we don't know how to minister to the younger Korean American Gen Z people who are different. And so what does it look like to do cross-cultural ministry? And I think, you know, you have a lot to give there, because you're not only Korean, you've had to navigate the differences between your Western and Eastern, your Eastern culture and your Western, I guess, context. And also, even I think about it with regards to the first generation and the second generation, that's a cultural difference. How do you navigate that cultural difference, and how do you communicate with one another and teach one another? And I struggle with this. Like when I look at younger Gen Alpha or Gen Zers, where there's cultural differences between myself and them. And I don't know. Maybe this is part of my youth. It's hard for me to tell. How do I minister to these people, and how do I understand like what they're looking for, and yet also balance the gifts and convictions that God has given me? So those are two of the few things. Yeah.
So good. Pastor Owen, this next question is for you, and then I'm going to ask you guys all a question for you guys to answer. Pastor Owen, what is it that you know, especially as you hear John, right, and Vincent wrestle with these things, what is it that you seek to impart when you mentor younger pastors, and even, you know, a word of wisdom for us now? What are some of the key things that you wish to pass on to younger pastors today?
Thank you. Two things come to mind. It's hard to believe I'm like in my mid-50s now. I've been in ministry for almost 30 years. And at this stage of my life in ministry, I would say there are two things I think are absolutely crucial for pastors. And the first is the importance of tending to the health of our own souls. We need to do whatever it takes to cultivate a vibrant walk with Jesus, an actual prayer life where we're enjoying God's presence, not just talking about it to others, but actually enjoying it ourselves. And what's crazy is, like, you know, I went to seminary, like practices of piety was like poo-pooed on. Like, so that's when I, you know, proudly stopped doing quiet time, because I was like for lay people. And kind of coming full circle to realize just how important it is to be in scripture, to pray regularly, to enjoy again God, because it is so possible to work hard for Jesus without walking close to Jesus. And it's happened to me multiple times. And I think when that happens, you're just headed for spiritual disaster. There has to be integrity and consistency between your exterior life of ministry and your interior life of relationship with God. So that's the first thing I would say, because we need to walk with Jesus before we work for him, or as we work for him. Second, as I think we need to have deep friendships with other pastors. We need pastor friends that we can be vulnerable with whom we can share both our joys and our struggles with. I think you know who your true friends are when you can share good news and you don't have to worry that they're thinking that you're bragging, right? Friends that can hear both the good news and your sadnesses. Friends that see both your light side and your shadow side. That see all of you, right? The good, bad, the ugly. They're not impressed with you. They know you. And spending time with pastors and pastor friends is not a waste of time. It's not a waste of money. It is absolutely crucial, right? You know, one of the blessings that I get to have is I get to do this retreat with other pastor friends once a year. And it's not just my favorite retreat that I get to do, but I consider it my most important retreat that I do. And in fact, some of those friends are in this room right now. And just at our last retreat together, we talked about how being together gives one another hope that we can actually make it to the end, that we can make it to our retirement parties, right? And that we'll be there for one another when we retire from ministry. And I want to take it a step further and say, and we'll be at one another's funerals, right? For someone my age, That's not that far away. If I live to 80, that's 26 years away. That's not a lot of time, right? And so I don't want to get all morbid. I think it's sobering. It's just like with the limited amount of time we have now, I want to be strategic about what I do with my time and who I spend that time with. I think it's super, super important. So cultivate your walk with Jesus and have pastor friends that you can walk with Jesus with. Yeah.
We'll stay with Pastor Owen because this question's for all of you guys. What is one thing that each of you really appreciate about each generation of pastors? Pastor Owen, if we could start with you, maybe you could share a word of encouragement for millennials and Gen Z pastors. What's one thing that you really appreciate about each generation of those pastors?
Yeah, so for my millennial brothers, you guys are the ones that have talked about toxicity and safe spaces, and which is important.
I feel very unsafe right now.
No, but you help Gen X pastors. We're the worst. We're the ones that are being brought up on spiritual abuse charges and stuff like that. And you help us rethink what leadership is. What's crazy is what I was taught was strong leadership is now called toxic leadership. And it's true. There's a lot of it that was toxic. And you're helping us, I think, unlearn some of the negative things that we've learned from previous generations. So I think just being in fellowship with you makes us, I think, better, tender, more gentle, more other-centered pastors. And so I appreciate that about the millennials. And then with Gen Z, I think you guys are so receptive to mentoring. You guys are so hungry and eager to learn, to just glean wisdom from older pastors. These guys weren't like that. No, just kidding. No, just kidding. No, but just in my interactions with the younger millennial and Gen Z pastors, you guys have just shown tremendous humility, teachability, and an eagerness to learn, and it's beautiful. So I hope you guys never lose that.
Thanks, Pastor Owen. John, do you want to say a word of encouragement? One thing you really appreciate about our older brothers in the faith?
Gen X, they are so intentional about fostering physical community and physical presence. They're the ones that organize the get-togethers. Cali would not exist without Owen as a Gen Xer organizing these retreats, getting us to get off of our phones and to actually stop texting and to call you and talk to you on the phone with your voice, right? And we struggled with that. We struggled with physical presence. And so Gen X has invited us to be able to be a part of a physical community that we desperately need. They paved the way through the first generation of establishing the rhythms and structures that we see in Korean American churches today. There is no Korean American church without the Gen Xers walking through it and working through these things that were very foundational for us. And then Gen Z, this is a generation that's very vocal about calling for justice, and caring for the vulnerable and speaking truth to power. We need that prophetic voice. We need to seek out, the church to rise to what they believe in more fervently and how resilient they are. Gen Z lived through two historic economic depressions and a global pandemic, and they grew up in that. And there's a resiliency that is there that we need to learn from in the face of generational chaos. And so as millennials, we have much to learn about that, even as we find ourselves being the old ones in the room. We were the generation that was blamed for killing everything, and now Gen Z is the generation that's sort of taken over, and we can sympathize with that. And so we're appreciative of all that you carry.
Thanks, John. Vincent, what about you, brother? Word of encouragement. What do you appreciate about Gen X pastors and millennial pastors? One thing that you appreciate about each generation.
I was talking about this actually with probably the only other Gen Z pastor in the room, Sam. He's kind of a testament to how few of us there are right now yesterday. But kind of the incredible opportunity we have to learn from the older generation, especially Gen X. I don't get to talk to my dad about what do I do in these circumstances. I don't know how to, if I even ask him, he'll probably give me a very short answers, not really deep with regards to the content, and not really like honest with his own struggles with sort of the different things we'll go through. Granted, my dad isn't a pastor or anything like that. And this is just speaking to my experience and I think Sam's experience and I think a couple other Gen Z Korean American pastors I know. The opportunity to, the reason why we're so receptive is because we feel like we don't know what we're doing. And we recognize that you have a breadth of knowledge and you want to share it. And we do want to learn. So honestly, like a spiritual father figure comes to mind. Okay, I don't have to pave the way. There's some safety instead of like getting thrown into the water. That's what I would say for Gen X. For millennial pastors, I think the stability, I think if you were to, if Gen X were to describe their kind of ministry, would be self-sacrifice, and yours would be, what was the word you used?
Thanks. In our pre-conference talk, yeah, survival. Yeah.
I do think you modeled survival well. Mm-hmm. My head pastor is a millennial pastor, and my church is going through something, and I don't know if Gen Z pastors would be able to survive some of the things that millennial pastors have gone through with regards to kind of interacting, kind of lovingly pushing back on the older generation. We would not be able to manage that. But also enduring, right? I see millennial pastors and I can't believe how they manage family life, how they manage ministry life, how they manage like work and their own studies and their involvement with like even the denomination. I'm like, that sounds impossible. And I never want to do that. But maybe I'll have to. And hopefully I can survive as well as you do. So.
Vincent, there's something interesting that you said, talking about how you were looking directly at Owen. I don't know if you were speaking to Owen, but about how in many ways the older generation of pastors, Gen X pastors specifically, they kind of play a paternal role. As spiritual fathers. You know, I'll say for myself personally, and I'm sure many of you guys can attest to this, for those of us who are younger pastors, the first time I heard in the presbytery a ruling elder or teaching elder address everyone as fathers and brothers, I said, huh? Mm-hmm. But these kinds of spaces and these kinds of mentorship relationships really legitimized that phrase for me. Mm-hmm. So that when I come into this room, I see fathers and brothers in the faith. So I'm particularly thankful for the older men in this room who are either part of Cali or Cali adjacent, who have really made that a reality for us to really be able to call one another fathers and brothers and create safe space for us. So thank you guys. Thank you to the old heads holding it down, man. This question, final question, this is for Owen and John. And maybe you could address these brothers directly. If you are a Gen Z or a Gen Alpha pastor, I don't think we have Gen Alpha pastors yet. They're still in grade school or something. middle school. If you're a Gen Z pastor, could you raise your hand if you consider yourself Gen Z?
One.
Wow. Okay. Chuni, you can raise your hand. You're not even 30 yet, bro. You don't even have hair in your armpits yet. Come on now. Come on. All right. Pastor Owen, for the future generation of pastors, what are your hopes for Gen Z and Gen Alpha?
I would say when I was, growing up as a pastor, I was told what I should long for in my ministry is faithfulness and fruitfulness. And those are good things, right? Faithful and fruitful. But I would say I want to add two more adjectives to those adjectives. I think there should be four adjectives. It's faithful, it's fruitful, but also grateful and joyful. Because I've met faithful and fruitful pastors who are not necessarily full of joy or gratitude. As I get older, I want my ministry to be characterized by joy and gratitude. And so I would encourage you all to not just seek to be faithful and fruitful and just in a bad mood all day, right? Faithful, fruitful, grateful. So much to be grateful for and full of joy. And I think when your ministry is characterized by, I think, those four adjectives, your people will benefit and Jesus will be honored.
My hopes are that they will live in healthier systems of church ecclesiology, that we grew up in, and having stable leadership. I long for the day when the average tenure of a pastor in a Korean American context is less than 2 to 3 years. You know, and I long for a healthier ecclesiology to accomplish that. There's two books. One is A Faith of Our Own by Sharon Kim, A Second Generation Spirituality in Korean American Churches. And one of the main things that she talks about in this book that was so helpful, she's a sociologist out of Fullerton. One of the things that she mentions in this book that was incredibly helpful is that Korean American pastors, the next generation of Korean American pastors, are longing to create a church culture that is more than just an English-speaking ministry, or more than just a multi-ethnic church, you know, environment, but something that is uniquely distinct. So it's not syncretistic, but it's something uniquely Korean American that's different. And I think, as Vincent pointed out, that we are culturally adept to be able to do that. We are able to be in different cultures all the time, and to be able to adapt to cultures all the time. So I think Gen Z and Gen Alpha will be able to accomplish that. The other thing that I want to point out is this book, The Great Dechurching by Jim Davis, Michael Graham, and Ryan Burge. This is a study done in America over, I think, the last generation. We have lost more Christians than the first and second Great Awakening and the Billy Graham Crusades combined. And the biggest percentage of decline is in Asian American churches at 34%, right? And so the challenge for Gen Z and Gen Alpha pastors is to right the wrongs of our generation. We have failed to make disciples maintain and keep disciples, at least as these numbers say, right? Numbers aren't lying here. We have failed to disciple, and we have failed to create sustainable environments for our generations that have had a lasting impact. And so we are counting on the next generation to learn from our failures, to learn from our mistakes, even as we try to humbly teach you what we know, so that you can avoid the pitfalls that we have went through. So.
Vincent, I know we didn't ask you to prepare an answer, but you know, for you, what would be your personal hopes for Gen Z and Gen Alpha pastors?
I think my hopes for Gen Z and Gen Alpha pastors is that I think something I've been thinking about a lot is, within the context of the PCA, within the context of Korean cultural ministry, Korean people were known for being passionate. We're known for being very strong emotionally. But as I think Generation Z has seen some of the negative aspects of what we would call emotional manipulation, or maybe a little bit too strong emotionally. And maybe there's a pull away from our emotions. And I've been reading Dan Allender's book, Cry of the Soul, and realizing that every great life-changing decision you make is preceded by great emotion. I think in the Presbyterian Church, we, and especially in seminary, we have such a disdain, almost like weariness of maybe other forms of Christianity that we see, other denominations. And I would hope that Gen Z and Gen Alpha know how to do the balance well of allowing our souls to cry, and kind of being in tune with our emotions, not in a just a healthy, comforting sense, but also in a striving, convicted, I want to do great things for the kingdom sense. So,
thank you guys so much for your time. At this time, we're going to open it up for questions and answers for our panelists. Does anybody have any questions they would like to ask from these three wise men?
Well, first, thank you for reminding me the grave is right around the corner. And I mean this positively. It seems the presentation was from a perspective of approaching the generational challenge in a vacuum, and I realize the limited time and space that we have. So my question is, what most of us being Asian, maybe mostly Korean, I don't know. What ethnic challenges are there in that dynamic of reaching out intergenerationally? Because from my experiences, a lot of people, or it's very common to hear, let's say from a Korean American pastor, say, oh, he's white, he can't mentor me, he doesn't know. Something's amiss there. Because I can say, for me in my late 40s, at the darkest hours of my life, it was an older, much older white pastor who reached out to me. Mm-hmm. It was perhaps the most influential in my life. Mm-hmm. So what are the challenges, rather than just to look at it as a blank slate? I think there's some baggage that we bring into any opportunity or desire or potential for mentoring.
Pastor Owen, you want to take a stab at that?
I think that's a millennial question. Good.
I'll try and answer that. I will. I think one of the challenges for me, and this came out in counseling, is that often I referenced before that millennials are blamed for killing everything. The internet blog Mashable said millennials are murderers, essentially. You know, we killed napkins, straws, you know, like all sorts of things in society. And one of the things that we may have killed in ministry is trying to react to everything that has been done to us negatively and having that be the output of our ministry. So like, I'm going to do this ministry philosophy because I want to avoid what was done to me historically by the generation above me. Our generation of Korean Americans makes like, I hate the Korean church. I will never go back because of what had been done to me. And I think the mistake in that is that if we are just reacting to what has been done to us, and we're not actually being faithful to God's calling or being faithful to scripture, we're just responding to what has been done to us. So in one sense, we're still being held in control by what had been done to us, right? And that in order to be released from that, we need to be faithful to God's call to both heal, forgive, and respond in faithfulness to, yes, there is a better pathway than what simply had been done to us, but we're not just simply doing ministry in reaction to what had been done to us.
Vincent, you want to take a step at that? It looked like you were wanting to say something.
I was, but I kind of got lost my train of thought.
That's fine. Thanks for the question, Joe. Pastor Owen, did you want to add anything?
I don't think I have the time and space to unpack my thoughts on that. Because I have a lot of thoughts on that. There's a time in my life when I overvalued white mentorship. I overvalued whatever was taught by white people. And then there's a reaction where I said, I don't want to learn anything from white people anymore. But I feel like I'm in a healthy, kind of healthier gospel place, but that's a long journey of my own, kind of overcoming my internalized shame over my kind of racial identity and kind of internalized white supremacy. All of that, it's kind of hard to unpack in like 2 minutes, but there's a story there. But all that to say, we should and we can learn from everybody, right? Yeah.
Hansu?
Yeah, I think how that affects mentoring is, you know, Gen Z is very different. We don't like the professionalism or, like, for example, on our communications, when I have someone on who's a Gen Z person try to make a slide for the church, it's all creative, use colorful letters and a very different font. And then if I have someone who's a millennial at our church or maybe in the middle, try to make something, we want it to be professional, simple, clean, aesthetics, get to the point. And I realized, man, if I'm going to lead these Gen Zs and have them come alongside me, and have them partake and exercise their skills and gifts, I have to let go of this, man, I want our church Instagram, honestly, to look clean. You know, like, I want it to look professional. I want it to look what I've learned from the millennials. But Gen Zs don't like that. They view it as disingenuous, unauthentic. And so there's a part of us where we really just have to, like, let go, I think, of if we're going to have them come alongside and be collaborative with them, it is going to be hard because they're going to want to do things differently. And I still don't know. I wrestle with how do we do a good blend? Because it feels like either or in so many different cases. Kind of hence what I was saying earlier about I don't know how to challenge. It's difficult to challenge someone to, like, because their convictions are different from mine. I think it's a lot of dying, a lot of trial and error. What is actually good? And I find that their ideas do resonate more with their peers. So it's difficult, but definitely doesn't resonate with the older generation, right? They want to post memes on our church Instagram. And one time I woke up and I pulled up the story and it was a meme. And I was like, what are we doing? We can't do this. But we had so much engagement. It's ridiculous. And like one of our Gen Z members, he prayed so differently. Our guest preachers come, if they listen to it, they cringe. They're like, what is this? Are you like, what is going on? But to them, it's authentic. And so, like, how do you balance that? It's so difficult. I don't know.
Thank you, Vincent. Wow, memes just taking over that, older guys. I think we have room for one more question. Do any other questions? All right. Guys, thank you so much for your time. If we could give them a round of applause.